Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Re'eh. What mitzvah midoraisa is found in Parsha's Re'eh? Trivia question. Or, you know, in Devarim, we really have a lot of mitzvahs midoraisa coming up. You know, Shoftim Kiseitse, that's where these are the big guns in the Sefer HaChinuch. Or if you learn Sefer HaChinuch every week.
Shechita.
Oh, good. So a big Shemitah Parsha. And you say Shemitah or Shechita? Okay, also a lot of Hilchos Kashas in this Parsha, a lot of Hilchos Shemitah regarding the monetary aspect of it. Anyway, and also the Mitzvah of Staka. Mitzvah of Staka. So this week, we will try to explore the question of how suspicious do you need to be when you give Staka? We've all been in the scenario where someone asks us for money, and it's not entirely clear to us whether or not the person is reliable or fraudulent. It's not a pleasant feeling, and sometimes we give thinking we're probably giving a scam artist some money, but, you know, whatever, tough luck for me. And other times we probably do believe that they're, you know, reliable, but we don't feel comfortable giving because they haven't proven that they're reliable, even though our gut tells us that it's probably fine. And we're also caught in a very awkward, sticky situation. So let's learn the background first about staka in general, so we put it in the proper context, and then we'll hone in on this aspect of hilchos staka, namely about, we'll say, how cautious do we need to be, or how suspicious do we need to be when giving staka. All right, so the Torah says in this week's parsha, ki yevecha evyon me'achad achecha be'achad sha'arecha be'aretzecha asher Hashem elokecha nosein lach, when there is a poor person among you where you live, lo te'ametes et levavcha, you shall not close up your heart. You shall not be stingy. Right? You shall not close your heart, nor shall you close your hand towards your fellow who needs your tzedaka. Rather, Pasach continues, ki, rather, here the word ki means, rather, Pasavach tiftach es yadcha lo. Rather, you shall open up your hand to him. Right? We understand the concept very clearly, namely, that you should give tzedaka v'havet avitenu d'machzor asher yachzor lo. So the mitzvah of staka uniquely is not defined by a number, but rather about a restoration. The person should be restored to a financial state where he is comfortable, where if he had fallen financially, we as a community have a responsibility to restore him, right, to fill in what he is lacking, to fill in what was previously filled and therefore restored back to his previous state. It's a little bit of a different discussion. But the bottom line is that from these two psukim in Parshas Re'eh, we learn a mitzvah of staka. So out of the 613, the Rambam will count two mitzvahs out of these psukim, even though there are more connected to staka, but we'll focus on two of them. There's the asei and the losa asei. Out of the 613 mitzvahs, so one of them is a positive commandment. That's the famous mitzvah of Kuf Tzadi, the 195th mitzvah out of the 613 is Shetzivan Alaso Tztaka. So we understand the concept that there are people in our community that are weak and need support, and we have an obligation as a community to support them. And the Rambam writes, it's in this parsha, pasoach tiftach yadcha, open up your hand, is repeated elsewhere, and it's a beautiful idea that the Torah wants us to help our brothers and strengthen them. Very good. The positive commandment to give tzedakah, it's a proactive mitzvah. Yeah, what's the negative aspect? What are you not allowed to do? The mitzvah ha'reish lamed beis. So the 232nd mitzvah is what? Hu she'ziyarnu shelo limnoa tzedaka. We're not allowed to prevent tzedaka. V'harchav me'evyonim me'achenu. Well, you can't not give tzedaka. That is a lav, an isser midoraisa, a big no-no, that if you know someone is poor, acha sheneida chulshas ha'inyanim. So if you know that so-and-so is poor, number one, and number two, you have the means to support that person, you have to open up your hand, open up your heart, and that's what the Torah means in this week's Parsha, when the Parsha states, so that is a very, very, very scary isser. And here the Rambam explains, it's what is it that it's basically, the concept is that Hashem doesn't want us to have the midah of achzorios, to be particularly stubborn or stingy. We can understand such a thing. We can understand why Hashem wants the Jewish people to have a natural midah of giving, that we should be benevolent, merciful people. So if we were to stop here and ask our question, we don't know enough details yet, but do we have to give the person collecting money at our door? So what would you say off the bat? Off the bat, so someone comes to your door, right, and says, I'm collecting for so-and-so. And, you know, Achnasas Kala, from Marriage Yisrael, whatever, and he does not have a certificate. So based on the two mitzvahs we just said, would you be more likely and open to giving the person or not to give the person, being that he might be lying? What would you say, logically?
Logically not, because it's not a chicha ha'evya. In that case, if he's not collecting for himself, it's not a chicha ha'evya.
Very good.
If he's collecting for himself, it would be, then it would be.
But he is collecting for an evya, and he's collecting on behalf of someone who needs money.
But he's not the evya.
So that's a very fancy chiluk Rabbi Weinshaw wants to make. I hear what you're saying.
When you go into Bnei Yeshur in Teaneck,
yes,
there's a big sign there that says, look for the teal. You want to see a sign. You want to see some certificate before you give.
That is true. In Bnei Yeshur, and one of the things they really try to emphasize, at least through their signs, is that solicitors should not enter the building unless they have a valid te'udah. Right? It's like awkwardly in your face.
It's right there.
Yeah, right. You walk in.
The east side of the building.
Yeah. When you walk into the parking lot, and so that makes sense, right?
And I've had rabbis tell me to be careful. You know, you never know who it is, even when they have a certificate. The signed Bible looks like a rabbi.
Oh, very good. Very good.
How do I know the rabbi really signed it?
That's another issue. That's another nightmare.
How do I know who it is? I mean, this could be a real scam.
Very good. So Rabbi Weintraub's point is very interesting, that if you're not supporting an ani, so the whole question you're saying doesn't really get off the ground. That being said, my hunch, AB, is that if a person is collecting on behalf of an ani, I would imagine they have the status of the ani in halacha, shlucho shel adam kamoso, or shliach mitzvah. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, and I can understand what you're saying. But my hunch is that that person collecting does have the status of the ani. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It's an interesting question. Rabbi Weinshaw argues that unless it's the ani himself, you don't have to really be as sensitive. Fascinating. So I would argue, though, that if it is the ani, so let's assume, like Rabbi Weinshaw, that if it's the ani himself, it could be that erring on the side of caution would be that you have to give, because you don't want to violate a losase, meaning there is an isser midah oraisa at stake there, right? Meaning if there is a poor person who needs money and you don't give them, you may have just violated an isser midah oraisa. So again, granted, it's not as bad. You want to be mekayim the mitzvah midah oraisa of giving, but that's not as bad. To not be mekayim a mitzvah is not as bad as violating a losase. Yeah, Peter, what do you have over there?
Yeah, so you could say that in every case, like, make a mistake on the side of caution and give. And you don't have to give a big amount, but give.
Right. Oh, there it is, Rabbi Weintraub yelling away.
But you do. Day machsorah shayach salah. So you're starting to err, then you're not supporting the tzedakah correctly. So
that's a good point.
On the side of caution doesn't work.
Right. Well, at the same time, when he's asking for you, he's not asking you to fill in his gap. He's asking the community to fill in his gap and for you to do your fair share. And it's understood, if someone's in America trying to collect $30,000, that they're not going to get it all from one individual or two. So it could be that is, you know, in the category of De Machsoro, because all right, again, also very good point, Peter, very good point, Weintraub. But let's learn some halacha, and again, we'll put it into more halacha context, but that's the starting point. The Parsha speaks about the mitzvah, and the Rambam told us about where these mitzvahs fall out of the 613. And now let's look at the Shulchan Aruch himself. The Shulchan Aruch holds like this. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch does not always start like this in the areas of halacha. He does not need to start like this. Clearly, there's a very strong opposition by nature when it comes to this mitzvah, and the Shulchan Aruch feels the need to play up and emphasize the significance of this mitzvah. As we can all understand, people do not necessarily want to open up their wallets by second nature. And I'm not saying that's a good thing as much as it's a reality. So therefore, look at this, and the Shulchan Aruch is not making this up himself. He's coming off the Gemara and earlier sources. Says the Shulchan Aruch, the opening Sif in Hilchos Tzedakah, this is Yoredeya Simon Reish Memzayim. Mitzvahs Aseh Litein Tzedakah Kefi HaSakas. Yeah, it's a mitzvah to give based on your economic means. V'kama pa'amim nistavu ba mitzvahs Aseh. And this Torah, the Torah repeats this mitzvah numerous times. V'yesh los Aseh b'malim ena v'meno. And there's even a violation if you don't give, if you turn away. And here's the key line. V'chol ma'alim ena v'mimena nikra b'lya'al. The Torah basically has a derogatory term for you if you do not give tzedakah. And the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting here compares one to an Oved Avodah Zarah for not giving tzedakah. Fascinating. There it is. I underline that sentence because the Shulchan Aruch is basically trying to give a pump-up speech, an appeal, so to speak, in the Shulchan Aruch. Don't try to be stingy. Try as hard as you can to be mekayim this mitzvah. Ki efsher sheyavo lidei shvichos damim. Wow. Nachum Ishgamzu famously suffered serious consequences of losing his limbs. And when his Talmidim asked him why he did this, he said it's because he delayed in giving the tzedakah, where someone needed money and he delayed in getting off of his donkey. And in that moment, the person died. Wow. So the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that you have to be very careful when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, because if people actually are starving to death and you don't give them the money, they might actually die. Now, again, that seems very dramatic, especially for the modern-day versions of tzedakah. We don't usually have life and death, you know, scenarios at our doorstep, but people are collecting money for procedures that are life and death. Rahman al-Aslan, if they need money to raise to fight, you know, a tumor, and they don't get that money, that is a life and death situation. So I could relate to it in our modern-day examples, even if it's less dramatic than the Shulchan Aruch. Now, that was if Aleph, if Beis. La'olam ein adam me'ani min tzedakah. You should know that there's a promise from God that you will not become poor if you give tzedakah, right? We should know that logically, wait a minute, if I give $10, I just lost $10. No. Hashem promises you otherwise. V'lo davar ra, v'lo hezek misgalgel al yada. Nothing bad will come about by you giving tzedakah. Sif Gimel. Kol ha'merachim al ha'aniyim. If you have mercy on poor people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu merachim alav. Hashem will have extra mercy on you. So there are serious perks to giving tzedakah. Hashem promises you, you won't lose your money. Hashem will have extra mercy with you. And tzedakah doches ha'gzera ha'kashos. If there is an evil decree on Klal Yisrael, well, we know tshuva, tzedakah, right? Ma'avir nezera gzera, right? Tefillah. So we know that tzedakah is one of the big three. We scream out on the Yom Ha'orayim that remove the evil decree. So yes, tzedakah will move away hunger. It will move away. There's a story by Eliyahu Navi and Sefer Malachim where the woman who gave Eliyahu bread, so that removed famine. Namely, when you give tzedakah, Hashem will make sure that the world is taken care of. So beautiful. So we have a mitzvah midaraisa to give, a mitzvah midaraisa to make sure that we're not stingy. And the Shulchan Aruch says you gotta give, you gotta be benevolent. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. That being said, unfortunately, we cannot be naive. If we were to just stop here, we would be ignoring the power of greed. We would be ignoring man's nature to take advantage of others. The New York Times article over here sent me to the FBI.gov.news, which says as follows, source number 5, charity scams are sadly common after high-profile disasters. There are often reports of fraudulent charities seeking to take advantage of those who want to help. The National Center of Disaster Fraud, by the way, let me just say that one more time. There is a National Center for Disaster Fraud, right? They received more than 400 complaints of fraud after Hurricanes Harvey and Irma last year. Yee. I remember as a seventh grade boy after 9/11, I went around door to door knocking to raise funds with my friends. We were on a mission. If I'm not mistaken, there was a firefighter in Jamaica Estates where I grew up. There was something along those lines where we were given a mitzvah opportunity to collect tzedakah. And I remember a lady from my community said, by the way, you should just know, children, you're innocent kids. Many people are collecting money right now trying to lie and take advantage. You need to prove to me that you're legitimate. We were seventh grade boys. We were freaked out by that comment. And we had to, I think she gave because the mother that sent us, you know, kind of backed us. But there was a phone call made. And it was the first time I had ever really encountered that type of scenario in my own life. And yet, unfortunately, when we're a little older, we, how many calls a day do we get? I don't know if you, how many of you got like this today, but we've been trying to contact you regarding your auto insurance, where there are so many organizations that try to call you to get your social security number, to get your credit card number. And unfortunately, it's just a way of the world. There's a very lucrative business out there called fraud. And
always ask them to send me an envelope. If it's NCSY, whatever the group is, send me an envelope so I can check you out. I can go online and check it out or whatever it is.
Yeah, so unfortunately, this has penetrated into the Jewish community. Yeah, Robert, sorry, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I have a question. This was something bothering me very much. Two Pesachs ago, and it happened again. So I got a couple letters. There's like a matzah fund, a moschitim fund, all these funds. I was about to give to one, and something just struck me as looking a little bit funny. And bottom line, I checked into it, and all of these, they had different addresses, but all of them were going. They had a rabbi's name who didn't exist. They had these, they all ended going up to these boxes, you know, they weren't going to real addresses. And then I got something this year from a different thing, not associated with Pesach, that was also going to the same thing. And I don't remember the details, but there were enough things going on that was pretty much like 95% total fraud. And to me, I'm thinking, people, this has been going on for years, people give to this. They have a finite amount of money they want to give. It's going to these people, it's not going to someone legitimate, and should that be something I report to someone or not?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. There's no question about it. Yeah, dare I say you're obligated to report it.
But who do I report it to?
Yeah, Rabbi Yudin. Rabbi Yudin takes care of these things. I don't know exactly. Again, I don't know if you should call the FBI and tell the Center for Disaster Fund Fraud Relief Fund, whatever, but ultimately, I wouldn't let it go by.
I always had something where I called the police, and of course, it was on the internet. The police told me to contact the FBI.
But this has been going on for many, many years. I get this every, I'm sure a lot of people get it.
Yeah.
And the police basically told me, and the FBI still almost said the same thing. You know, there's not much they can do about it. Because by the time sometimes it comes from Nigeria or someplace like that, and by the time they get to them, they've moved on,
Well, I actually wrote a letter. The first time I saw it, I realized that it was an anonymous letter to that post office box saying, I have checked, you know, I've looked at A, B, and C. I know you're not legitimate. If you do it again, I will have you reported. Then the following pay stuff, they did it again anyway.
Okay.
Should have reported them.
Actually, may be legitimate.
Yeah, you never know.
No, because what happens is that if I need to raise money, I don't know how to raise money. I hire a company to raise the money for me, and they take a percentage, which is, I mean, that's not the way I think I want my funds to be given, but there's nothing wrong.
With the name of a rabbi who doesn't exist anymore.
Well, that's possible because they're just using old stuff. But
it was a lot of red flags.
Yeah. All right. So obviously, if it's very fishy, you know, it's fishy to report it. You know, there's a question about that in halacha. But yeah, I would imagine, Rabbi, let's leave these questions there. Yudin Shlita.
Okay.
And we'll just get our feet wet. All right, so ultimately we've discussed two issues. So far there's a mitzvah, yet we also said there's a reality, and the reality is that you have to be cautious, and we've seemingly encountered such issues. All right, so now the halacha does talk about this. It is already on the books. So let's try to see a halachic equation of when we have to be suspicious and when we could be more generous and more benevolent and open up our hearts and our wallets. Let's see. Let's see if we can really come away with an equation. Says the Rambam, Hilchos Matanos Ani and Perek Zayin. What a lach! I think this is Hilchos Zayin, if I'm not mistaken. V'ani Amachazer Al Psachim. So you have an Ani who is going around door to door. Ein Nizkakin Lo Lematana Meruba. You are not obligated to give someone at your door a large gift. Aval Nosin Lo Matana Muetes. But you should give him something small. Now here's the key line on the Rambam. V'aser lahachzer es ani sheshal reikam. You may not leave an ani at your door empty-handed. If a person comes to your door and he leaves empty-handed, that is not okay. Even if you give him a fig, you should not return the poor person embarrassed. The idea being that you have to give him something. So that's assuming that you don't think he's fraudulent. But if a poor person comes to your door, he should walk away with something. Again, the key line being that he is, in fact, a poor person. So the Shulchan Aruch does paskin like that in the Ramah. Not the Shulchan Aruch himself, but the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch says that if someone comes to your door and you don't have money to give him, at least you should give him some nice words. If I send a bitvarim, v'yira libo hatov, you should at least appear to him that you want to give him, but you just don't have the funds. I mean, you shouldn't be mean to someone at your door. If you don't have the money, so you don't just, you know, close the door on his face, you should at least say, I'm sorry, I can't give you, have a good night, I wish I could help you. You should be nice in terms of your words. But the Ramah then paskins like the Rambam. The Aser lahachzir ani hashoel reikam. Afilei nosna lo rak grogres acha. So verbatim, right, the Ramah paskins like the Rambam. So if he's passing like the Rambam, we have a pretty severe halacha on the books. Namely, if someone's at your door, you need to give him something. That means you have a bag of change or you have a dollar bill that you give him. Now, what are you giving him? You're giving him tzedakah or you're giving him a dollar to run away, not knowing that he's fraudulent or not sure if he is fraudulent. So you can understand this halacha at this point saying, I'm giving him a dollar just in case he's an ani, because for all I know, he's fraudulent. Or you could say, listen, I know he's an ani, but I don't want to give him so much because I give to the Shomer Torah charity fund, or I support my local, you know, community, Bergen County, Tompe Shabbos, Project Ezra, whatever you want to say. And therefore, he's not a priority, frankly. So I'll give him a dollar, $2, not because I am suspicious of him, just they're not a priority. Seemingly, those both would be legitimate. And erring on the side of caution, even if he might be fraudulent, okay, you give him a dollar. But then the halacha throws a monkey wrench. Here it is. In Hilchos Purim, what do we have? We have a new halacha. Ein medaktikin b'maos Purim. When it comes to Purim, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry. You're not medaktik. What does that mean to not be medaktik? What does that mean to not be medaktik? Elakol mi sheposhet yado litlo nosnim lo. Anyone who wants, you give. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Why would you think to not always give? What's the halacha? Why is the halacha on Purim the exception? Because what's the normal rule?
Supposed to make everyone happy. It's a the problem in Purim is that people were not united, and then you have to show that we're united.
Good, good. So therefore, what? How do we show that unity on Purim? By what? Not being medaktik. Meaning what? If someone collects stuck on Purim, you don't what? What don't you have to do?
You have to check them out.
So the Ritva, in his Chidushim on Shas and Maseches Megillah on this Gemara, says normally you're allowed to check the ani out, namely. If someone collects money from you during the year, not on Purim, you're allowed to say, seems a little fishy. Where's your te'udah? Stuff like that. But on Purim, we just give. That doesn't mean, again, you don't just throw out your wallet at someone who might be scamming you on Purim. But the halacha, at least, would recommend that you can have your guard a little bit down on Purim. And you shouldn't be as suspicious on Purim as you are during the rest of the year. Again, that doesn't mean you should be naive and let yourself be taken advantage of on Purim. But the halacha says that you don't have to be, you know, weary that the people collecting tzedakah are fraudulent on Purim. But the obvious inference from this halacha is that if it's not Purim, you are a little bit, you're allowed to be a little bit defensive, cautious, and yes, suspicious. Ooh. So what do we do about this one? Because if you're asking me, I'm looking at the Hilchos Purim and I'm saying, oh, we clearly see that only on Purim are you not allowed to be suspicious. But the rest of you are allowed to be suspicious. And Sam Heller, that justifies the B'nai Shurin, you know, this sign where they say, listen, solicitors, if you're collecting money, you better have it to Uda. And yes, I asked Rabbi Yudin myself what he thought about this question. And he said that if they don't have it to Uda in Bergen County, he said, give a dollar. Meaning err on the side of caution, meaning don't just assume that he's a fraud, a con artist, but give him a dollar just in case he's legit. But don't even think about giving him, let's say, $3. He's like, give him a dollar, $2, but don't hand him a $5. Meaning Rabbi Yudin, unfortunately, has seen enough of this monkey business and told me straight up that, yeah, this is a real issue. And if they don't have a Tu'udah that we rely on or that we are familiar with, unfortunately, you should not be as generous. It's not like, he could have just told me, Mandelstam, come on, don't be so street smart. If someone's at your door, they look like a fine Jew, come on, where's your Yiddish and Neshama? He did not say that. He did not say that. And Rabbi Yudin is one to be in touch with the Yiddish and Neshama. So he could have easily have pulled out that card. You know, he is a major Baal Chesed. So even some hearing the tone of, you know, one of the Gdolei HaChesed in our generation say, yeah, if they don't have a Tu'udah, you got to be cautious. So that is very telling, and, you know, coming from the words of such a tzaddik like that. So that was interesting for me to hear. But believe it or not, this is black and white in the Shulchan Aruch explicitly. So not only can we make an inference from Hilchas Purim, we can actually look at Hilchas Tzedaka themselves. The Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara Bava Basra, makes a fascinating chiluk. So he says like this, Mi Shaba the Amr. So someone knocks on your door, they're collecting tzedaka. Hechiluni, feed me, if they're hungry. Ein botkin acharav. You do not need to check after them to make sure they're legit. Imu ramah. You don't have to check if they're a trickster. So here it is, black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. There's a concept of checking if people are a ramai. But if they're asking for food because they're hungry, don't check. Just give them the food. Elamachilan oso miyad. Feed the guy immediately. Seemingly the Shulchan Aruch is saying, Sarkandas nefashas. If someone is really potentially dying of hunger, just feed the guy. In contrast, Haya Arum. Now this does not mean that he's literally naked, but if someone is lacking clothing, Ubava Amar Kisuni, please give me clothing. Let's say I'm cold. Bodkin acharav imhu rama. You are allowed to check if the person is lying, because after all, it's not life or death. He's asking you for clothing, meaning it's serious. He might be cold in the winter, but you are allowed to look into him, do a background check. V'im makirin oso, and if you do recognize the individual, machasim oso miyad. You should immediately give him clothing to cover himself. Wow. So the Shulchan Aruch is clearly making a chiluk between things that might be life or death versus not, which is already a very fine line, because you could have easily have argued that clothing is also life or death, right? Someone who has no clothing in the winter to keep them warm, I don't know how long they're going to last, how many winters they're going to last. Okay, maybe it's not as urgent as hunger. You can't go a day or two without food. Maybe you could last longer without clothing. But the Shulchan Aruch is saying that you're allowed to be cautious and suspicious when it comes to clothing the needy as opposed to feeding the hungry. Now, I remember in YU, unfortunately, there was a man who always tried to mooch meals. And if he saw you walking into the kosher Dunkin' Donuts, he would say, can you please give me a meal? And it was a very uncomfortable situation because, you know, whatever. So let's just say there's some people who it's hard to believe them. It's just hard to believe them. And they're not dying. They're not dying. Like, come on, you're not dying. So, you know, you also have to know how to kind of interpret this halacha. What, if a guy on the street of Manhattan says, please feed me, and you see that he's like, you know, smoking or who knows what, you know, the Shulchan Aruch is not telling you to blindly feed people who are telling you they need food either. So it seemingly, you always need to have a basic street smarts, and you can't be so naive to just feed people who are driving a Lexus, you know, but claim that they're starving. So, you know, obviously, I think that's understood. So all in all, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that, are you allowed to be suspicious? Yes. But don't be overly suspicious in a life or death situation, or at least a scenario that could be potentially life or death. So before we end the Machshava, anyone ask, have any questions on a halachic level? Because seemingly this never comes up. Has anyone ever been in a situation where they felt that someone collecting money was desperately in need of your donation, and if you didn't give to them, they might die? I don't know. What would you say that someone collecting for an operation is in that category of halacha, of life or death, like they're hungry?
Why are they collecting for an operation? Israel and the United States, if you need an operation, you can get it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm a Dr. Karp, medical doctor. I don't know. That's not my field. Not my field of expertise. Okay, that's good to know.
So there goes that excuse.
Okay, Dr. Karp, there's no one who's ever been shut out of an operation that they needed?
State, the answer is no. And in Israel, they have universal coverage. It's people who refuse to be part of the government, who because I think it's if you don't participate in the government, you don't pay taxes.
Aha. Uh-huh. So all those people that go around and say, I'm collecting money for an operation, you're saying that they don't really need it?
I don't think so. In Israel has socialized medicine.
That's a fair point.
You also have the other one that somebody's collecting tzedakah. We'll say for a very useful cause, but the person collecting is going to make a commission, 10%, 20%, whatever the percent is.
More than that.
Okay. I'm trying to be.
Down the gob supposed to. Yeah, but Weintraub's he's trying to get out of Chayim. You know? Yeah. I was trying to get one shot out a week. Okay, he's trying. I didn't say you were succeeding. Okay, Avery, sorry, go on. Yeah. So you say he's trying to make a commission, therefore what? Yeah.
The question is, could you say, I don't want to give tzedakah where I know that not 100% of my tzedakah is going for the shame tzedakah? Is that an excuse a person can take and say, I'd rather give somebody else?
Yeah, I remember I saw the great Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen, or someone collecting in the YU base once. And the second Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen found out that the person planned on taking a percentage of his donation, Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen was very, we'll say, discouraged from that individual. He ended up giving a check anyway, but the second he even, suspected that the person was going to receive a percentage for collecting, his lashon was like, chas v'shalom, are you out of your mind? And it totally ruined the moment for Rabbi Yitzchak Cohen. I think he wrote something anyway, but I would imagine the number got smaller or Cohen felt less comfortable about it. So that was also interesting to watch. So yeah, these are complicated things. Again, I don't have a clear-cut formula as much as I can tell you that the Shulchan Aruch says if it's life or death, don't be such a street-smart, cautious, suspicious person. Just give. If the person's literally in need of a life or death, it's like pikuach nefesh. But even if the person's really uncomfortable, you are still allowed to be suspicious, which is very telling also. If the person doesn't have clothing or adequate clothing in the winter, you're still allowed to be suspicious. So clearly the halacha is allowing you to be street smart and a current degree to be street smart, despite the Shulchan Aruch's introduction to Hilchos Tzedakah, try to give as much as you can, and it's a beautiful mitzvah, and God will have rachamim on you, and if you have rachamim on the poor, etc., etc., etc. And Purim still is the exception to the law. Right? The rule of thumb is you're allowed to be suspicious, and Purim is the day where we are allowed to open up our wallets and be a little bit more generous. And again, the Ritva there explains, because it's not a din in Tzedakah, it's a din in unity, as Dr. Karp said himself. I remember the Rav Soloveitchik in Rabbi Luster, Dr. Arnold Lustiger's work on the Yamim No Ram, the English work, before him you shall be purified, right? It's a small blue sefer. And the Rav writes, he remembers as a young boy growing up in Europe that there were 2 days of the year where men's wallets were open, Purim and Erev Yom Kippur, and that he remembers people just gave. There was a totally different tone in the community. Just cool to hear that. The Masor from Europe. So I thought we'd end with a little bit of Machshava, knowing that we will always like to connect with at least a perspective. So the Maharal in his Nesiv HaOlam has a small book on Nesiv HaTzedakah. And he writes that the concept of the Tzedakah is that you are supposed to be the one who's looking to give, right? It's not like you're supposed to be a passive member here. Meaning when it comes to Chesed and Tzedakah, you should be on the giving, you should be rodef tzedakah. And the Maharal explains that the word tzedakah is the word tzedek. Ki nikra tzedakah sheroi sheyeh b'tzedakah had tzedek. I mean, what does tzedek mean? Tzedek means, a lashon of righteous, of law, fair and square. There seems to be justice. And therefore he argues on a metaphysical level that if you really want to find the mitzvah and give tzedakah, Hashem will make sure that you give to someone who really needs it. Wow. The idea is over here, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mesayeyalo, Hashem will help you, Sheyimtza Bnei Adam Hu Ganim, Shezeu Tzedakah Gomer. Meaning tzedakah, a lashon of tzedek, of righteousness. So Hashem will make sure that your tzedakah is an act of tzedek, of truth. If the person you're giving to is not actually fit to receive tzedakah, that's not called tzedek, rak hashchasenik, or that's called hashchasa, that's destruction. So the Maharal writes on a metaphysical level, Hashem will ensure that the recipient you're looking to give is legitimate if you are proactive in this mitzvah. It's also a beautiful concept. So if you want to be a rodef tzedek and are proactive in your charity giving, Hashem will make sure that you'll find it. Now, that's easy in our generation. You go to these websites and these organizations that are clearly legitimate, you know, such as Stonepage Shabbos or the Rabbi's Charity Fund, etc. It's pretty easy to find them. And just a fascinating episode. We know that Yirmiyahu HaNavi, unfortunately, was not well received when he predicted that the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And the people around him, the Jewish community, suspected him of doing inappropriate things. And there's a machlok is exactly what they suspected him of doing. And Yirmiyahu told Hashem, Hashem, you got to basically ignore the Jewish people and don't pay heed to something that they're doing. Meaning what? So look at how the Gemara Maseches Baba Kama explains. Amar Yirmiyahu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yirmiyahu HaNavi told Hashem, Ribono shel Olam, afilu b'shah she'otzin stuck, even at the moment that these people give stuck, these people who are falsely accusing me, even when they give stuck and they try to do a good thing, Hashem, please, hachshilem b'bnei adam she'enan mehuganim. Make sure that they end up giving to people who are fraudulent, kidei shelo yikablu aleihem schar, so that these wicked people don't even receive reward for the tzedakah that they give. Wow. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi said, Hashem, I want you to make sure that these Rishoim give tzedakah to bad people so that you don't even reward them for their tzedakah. That's how bad they are. Whoa. So we see that this is another Makor and Shas for the concept of fraudulent tzedakah so much even in the times of Tanakh. Yirmiyahu wanted them to give to the wrong people. So all in all, I think we should leave with the Maharal on our minds that if we are seeking to be benevolent and proactive, Hashem will help us. And we should certainly not use the shiur as a deterrent to give tzedakah. Because again, as we preface, the mitzvah in the Torah is to open up our hands. And there's an issur midoraisa to be stingy. Yet, yes, the Torah also allows us to be cautious. And we shouldn't be overly stingy. Yet, at the same time, we do have the right to kind of pick and choose who we believe. That being said, we should be zocha to live in communities with steka and tzedek. And we should all be zocha to promote a community of tzedek and stacha to rebuild Tzion. We know that will be redeemed, but tzedek tipadeh. All right, my friends, have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Thank you so much for coming.